Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Nun Dalet. We begin on Nun Dalet of an Aleph, two lines above the start of the wide lines at the two dots where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, At Tehei Yosvo Beveisi Vichuli. The Mishnah had several conditions that were assumed to be part of the Ksuba, whether they were written or not in the Ksuba. And this was the last one of the conditions that the Mishnah had discussed, which is that the widow, Rachmana Lusan, if her husband passes away, is allowed to stay in the house all the time that she wishes to until she either remarries, or as we'll see, wants to get remarried, as we'll see later in today's shir, or until the time that she asks for her Ksuba. Now, the Gemara starts off and says, Tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef learned the following, that they see, the Mishnah tells us that the lashon of the Ksuba is that she gets to stay at the Heyotzvah, but they see, you get to stay in my house, umizonam in chosai, and you can be supported from my estate, kol yemei megar amenusech beveisi. All the days that you wish to, as an almana, stay beveisi. Again, we have the word beveisi twice in the nusach of the Ksuba. And that, Rav Yosef Darshans, means I have to have a house below bebiksi. A biksi is a small little hovel. As Rashi tells us in the Libra Masa, beveisi below bebiksi. Im yesh lo bayis, if he has a house, he has a real place that has room for the widow to stay in. So then, kofin es hayorshin, then they have to give her a place in the house. They have to give her a nice room, suite in the house where she can stay according to the covet that she should have as the widow of this somewhat wealthy person. And they can't say to her, listen, go back to your father's house and live with him, and we'll support you over there. We'll send you over food every day. And we'll support you over there. No. She has the right to be in his house. However, if he doesn't have a house, what's a bixobialma? A little hovel. Tsrif tsar v'kotin. It's a little hut that is narrow and small. Lashon bixi says it's a bay akosa that we have in Morin Shabbos. So, in any event, it tells us there, Yecholin Lomar, the ones who inherited the father, the sons, Mistama, maybe her sons even, but probably not, probably the sons that he had from another wife, have the ability to tell her, Yecholin Lomar, they can tell this widow, L'chi, may it slay, no, leave us, we don't have enough room in this house. The Ate Yisva Bevesi, that the Pasuk only says that you get to stay in this house if there's a house. Not Bibixi, but not if there really is a hovel over here and not enough room for her. So that's what Rav Yosef said. And he says, however, but don't think for a second that they're not chayiv the mazonos. Abba mazona yisla. But she, of course, is still entitled to the support that the estate has to give her for food. However, marba ravashi omar, no, afila mazoni nami lesla. If there is no house, then she not only doesn't have to stay, isn't allowed to stay in that house if the inheritors of the estate don't want her to, but they're not even then in that situation required to give her support. However, the Gemara says we don't pass like this. We pass like Rav Yosef. The Gemara says that even though she may not have room in that house, she still is entitled to mizonos when she goes back to her father's house or wherever she goes to live. Gemara continues and tells us, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman says the name of Shmuel. Tevoua lihinose v'nispaisa. If somebody offered her marriage and she said, yes, I will go and accept it. She's not yet married, but she has agreed to accept what we would call, in our terms, a non-halachic engagement. Somebody's made her a proposal of marriage and she said yes. So from that moment and onwards, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says, ein la mazonos. She no longer is entitled to get mazonos. Because the whole idea is that she's supposed to be megar al menusech, that she's still considered a widow of that person. As soon as, so to say, that status of her being a widow no longer is their main concern, so to say, she's now interested in going on with her life and getting remarried. So then in that situation, as Rashi points out in Dibra Masav and Espaisa, Su lo korinon ba, we no longer say about her that she's megar al menusef, that she's considered to be a widow living in her husband's house. So this entitlement of the ksuba has to be megar al menusef if she's no longer considered, I'm living all my days as a widow, so she's now considered, well, I'm looking for proposals, so then she no longer is entitled to go and automatically live in the dead husband's house anymore. The Yorshim of that house have the right to say to her, no, you're no longer Megar Lunusech. The implication of this word says, Ha alone is Spisa, if she didn't accept, but she was offered a proposal, but she didn't accept it, then automatically, Yeshla Mazonos, under all circumstances, does she still have Mazonos? The bottom line is, doesn't that also, the fact that she's entertaining proposals, albeit she didn't accept it, doesn't that also imply that there should be no longer the Megar Lunusech idea? So where it says, no. Rav Anan says, I myself was explained this statement that Rav Nachman made in the name of Shmuel from Shmuel himself. I heard the actual understanding that Shmuel had, not just what Rav Nachman reported from Shmuel, but Shmuel himself had told me. If the woman says, Amra Machmas Ploni Bali, I no longer am looking to get married. I still am remaining the widow of so-and-so. That's my status. I'm not interested in getting remarried, and I don't accept proposals, not because they're not such nice people. If it was a nice guy, I would accept it. No, I'm not accepting proposals. I'm the widow of so-and-so. I'm not ready to move on yet. So then that's called Megar Menusech, and she's entitled to Yesh Lamazonos, no matter what. However, if the reason that she didn't accept the proposal of marriage was because Makos Bnei Adam She'enon Mehuganim La, listen, this guy's not up to my standards of who I want to have as a husband. But if somebody else came along that was a better standard, I would consider it. So then, if that's the reasoning, because they weren't Mehuganim La, so then, Ein La Mezonos, then in fact, she doesn't have Mezonos anymore because she's essentially no longer Megar Al Menusech, Shmuel said. She's now looking to maybe find another husband, so therefore, the orphans who inherited the house from their father no longer have to support her in that house. Amar Rav Chista adds another thing. He says, Zin saw Rachmona Lutzlan if she committed an act of Znus. Now, obviously, it's not adultery. She's a widow, but it's still a terrible thing. But she had relations with somebody else. So in this situation, Rav Chista says that also, so she's no longer Megar Al Menusech and Ela Mezonos. In this situation, she's no longer entitled to Mezonos, never mind living in that house anymore. She doesn't even have Mezonos. Amar Yosef, Rav Yosef says, what happens if she was Kichala Upirkisa? Rashi elsewhere tells us a number of different definitions for Kichala Upirkisa. Here Rashi says, it just shows Gaya Daita, it reveals what her intent is, the Lo Machabas Kivod Bala, Machabasli Nasek. It's no longer because she's sitting Megal Menusech and she has tremendous respect for her dead husband, and that's why she's not getting married. She's obviously trying to get married. She's putting on makeup. She's putting on braids on her hair. That's how we normally translate Kichla Opirkisa elsewhere. We have a number of places where Rashi says that Kochel means Lo'einayim and Pirchos means Laseyar. So basically she's putting on makeup and she's taking care of her hair. She goes to the beauty parlor. She goes and pretties herself up in order to try to find the husband. So in this situation, Rav Yossi says also, Eilam Mazonos. That shows she's no longer Megar Al Menusech, and now she is considered a woman who's interested in getting married, no longer the widow of so-and-so only, and therefore the orphans don't have to give her Mazonos anymore. They have to give her Ksuba, but they no longer have to give her Mazonos if they don't wish to. So we had these two statements. We had Rav Chista saying that if she had relations with somebody else, she was Mazana, she doesn't get Mazonos. And then we had Rav Yosef who said if she was Kichalo or Pirchasa, she doesn't get Mazonos. So what does each one say about the other ones? A point of view. Mandi Amazin, so according to Rav Chista, said that only if she had Znuz does she lose her status of Mazonos. But certainly in that situation, Koshken Kichalo Pirchasa, certainly, if she didn't even go that far, when she has to notice it, basically she's saying, I'm no longer the widow of so-and-so. I'm interested in moving on with my life. So if Znus is going to make her lose from Mezonos, then certainly something like Kichel or Pirkasa, which is something that demonstrates absolutely clearly that she, in fact, wishes to leave the status of being the widow and move on to the next stage of her life where she's trying to get married. Because Znus could be a one-time thing, but Kichel Opirchasa, that's obviously showing intent that she wishes to get married. However, Mandioma Kichel Opirchasa, but Rabbi Yosef says, if she's Kichel Opirchasa, she puts on makeup and does her hair, so then in that situation, it doesn't necessarily show what would be the situation of Znus. And Kichel Opirchasa, she's certainly demonstrating she doesn't want to be the widow anymore, and she wants to move on with her life. Abel Zinsa, Isla, but if she was Mazana, she still does get Mazonas. Why is that? Because that could be a one-time failure of her desires. So my time a Yetzan, so one time she let her desires, her taiva for relations overcame her. But labdavka that she no longer wants to be Megar Al Menusech. So therefore, the two don't necessarily go together. According to Rav Yosef, according to Rav Chista, the two definitely go together. Okay. Mara says, however, all of these things that we just said, that she loses her Mezonos under these situations, if she didn't accept the proposal but would accept the proposal, if it was a better person, or the Kichel or Pirchasa, or the Zinsa, all of these they're not halacha l'maisa. She still has mezonos. When does she lose her mezonos? Elok yod amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. When Rav Yehuda said over there in Shmuel that only if she is hatovas ksubasa bebeisin, when she goes and asks for her ksuba in Beisin, she's therefore demonstrating, I no longer want to be the widow of so-and-so. That's not my name in life, so to say. I want to move on. I want to take my ksuba, and I want to move on and look for a new prospect. So then she no longer is entitled to mezonos from the estate. But she has to be toveya the ksuba in Beisin. More questions. This it says, really? Below? She doesn't get the mezonos if she's toveya her ksuba? But Tanya, but we learned in another brisa where it says only if she machra ksubasa, if she sells her ksuba, or mishkin or ksubasa, or if she uses her ksuba as a mashkon, as a collateral for getting a loan, or also ksubasa apotaki liacher, or she uses her ksuba to be able to be collected. She has some sort of a deal. She borrows money, and she says, if I don't pay up, this will be the apotiki, apotehe koi. That's an abbreviation or a mnemonic for this is where you go collect the money that I owe you from. So in any of these situations where she's using a kasuba in these somewhat disparaging ways, as Rashi says, that fi shehen givui ksuba, that actually is entitling the person to take a ksuba. So only in those situations when the ksuba is actually able to be collected and used, so to say, she sold the ksuba, she's using it as a collateral of some sort, or she's saying this is where you collect your money at 100 a days or 200 days a year from now, whenever the money that I owe you is due. So then, in those situations, she's essentially saying, I'm no longer Megar Alamanusich, in love Mazonas. But the implication is, Hani, in only in these three examples, where she's actually giving up her ksuba, it's being collected, so to say, does she lose the Mazonas. But just by asking for it in Basin, Abel Tovas, lo. So how can you tell us, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that just by asking for the ksuba Basin, she loses Mazonas? Here it seems to imply from this brisa that only if she actually gives up the ksuba, it's actually collected, does she lose the mezonos? So Gemara says, no, Shmuel's right. Review Dom Shmuel is okay. Hani, these three things that we brought down in the Brisa, they are true even if it's not bebeistin that she loses her mezonos. Bein bebeistin, bein shelo bebeistin, she will lose her mezonos because she's essentially giving up her ksuba. When she sells her ksuba, she's basically saying, I'm no longer megar amanusich, and she's not entitled to the mezonos. However, Tovas ksubasa, if she's going and asking for ksuba, and that has to be in a beistin. The beistin, Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel tells us, is only when she loses a mezonos. Beistin in. However, if she just tells people, I'm going to go and ask for my ksuba, shelo beistin, she didn't do it in the setting of beistin, so then that doesn't carry any real weight that she doesn't want to be megar al manusich anymore, and lo, and she wouldn't lose her mezonos. Then we quote the last part of the Mishnah. It said, we said that the people in Yerushalayim, as well as the people in the Galil, they would go and have these things in their ksuba, whether they were written down or not. The three things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, for example, the last one we just said, that she's entitled to stay there all the days of her meger al-menusech, live in the house, if there is a house, and be supported by mezonos from the estate, as long as she wants to. It's her call. So these things that are called Tanai Ksuba, that was true in Yerushalayim, as well as in the Galil. However, the people of Yehuda, in the region of Yehuda, they did not have this philosophy. Their philosophy basically was, their standard operating procedure was, that if the people who inherited the estate wish to continue to give her mezonos, wish to give her a place to stay, of course, she's allowed to stay there. But if they wish to give her ksuba, they had the right to kick her out, so to say, here's your ksuba, that was the deal, and now go on with your life separately, and we'll go on with our lives, with the estate, minus the ksuba. And the Mishnah said, lefikach, therefore, this was automatically the Tanai of Beisdin in the region of Yehuda, that even if it wasn't written in, they would have the right to do so. So Mora says, Itmar, we learned in the Beis Medrash, Rav Amar, Halocha ki Anshe Yehuda. Rav said that we paskin like the Anshe Yehuda. In other words, that unless you specifically write in the ksuba that she will be able to stay there no matter what, so then the people who inherit the estate have the right to go and give her ksuba and no longer let her live in that house and no longer required to give her mezonos. That's Rav's opinion, that the approach of the Anshe Yehuda is the halacha l'maisa, unless you specifically state otherwise. You can make any deal you want, and if you specifically write down in the ksuba that, no, she's entitled to stay there no matter what, even if the Yisomim, the inheritors of the estate, wish to kick her out, they can. So then in a situation where you write it in, they can't kick her out. But the default position would be that they can kick her out by giving her the ksuba at any point in time. That's Rav's opinion. We pass like the Anshe Yehuda. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar Halacha Ganshe Galil. We pass like the people of Yerushalayim and the Galil that say that the assumed default position is that they can't kick her out unless you specifically write in that no, the Yorshim of the estate have the right to go and give her a ksuba at any time that they want and not give her a place to stay in their house and not give her mazonos. So then, only if they specifically write that. But the default position is like the Anshe Galil and the people of Yerushalayim. Now, furthermore, Bavel, the Chol, Parvadoha, Noh Kirag, in Bavel, which basically means the areas that weren't under Shmuel's domain, which is most of Bavel. Shmuel was the Rav in Nardai, so they followed Shmuel's opinion, but the rest of Bavel was under Rav's domain, more or less, and therefore Bavel, the rest of Bavel, the whole Parvador, Rashi says Parvador is the Krochim HaSmuchim Lov. These are like what we would call today the suburbs. These are the cities that were near Rav's area of influence. So in Bavel, in all the suburbs of Bavel, they know Kirav, they followed Rav's opinion that the Halach is like the Anshe Yehuda, and in Nardai, which was Shmuel's area of influence, the whole Parvadoha, and the suburbs of Nardai, know Kishmuel, they followed Shmuel's opinion. Okay. Ma'isa Shoya. Hahi Bas Mechuzah. There once was a girl who came from Mechuzah, which is an area of Bavel that was under Rav's domain, the Avis Nesivil in Nardai, who married a man who came from Nardai, which was under Shmuel's domain. So the obvious question is going to be, who do you follow in this situation where the woman is from one place and the man is from another place? Which customs do you follow? So they brought this girl to the Beis Din. She wanted to go and live in the estate of her dead husband, and the people who inherited the estate wanted to give her the ksuba and pay her off and not let her live there and not give her mazonos. So they came to a Beis Din in Nebuch to solve the problem. Also, the comedy of Rav Nachman. So they went to the basin of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said, "Shomo lekala de bas mechuzi." I hear from her accent, I hear from her voice that she is in fact a woman who comes from Mechuzah, which is from the suburbs of Bavel. In other words, it's in Rav's domain, and therefore Rav Nachman said she is under the dinim of Rav, so that we pass like the Anshe Yehuda, and Amalahu, he said, Bava v'chol parvador, no kirah, and therefore the orphans, the people who inherit the estate, have the right to give her a ksuba, and she doesn't get to live with them in their house or get mazonos. However, Amrule, they told Rav Nachman, Baha l'Nardai Nesiva, but she married a man who comes from Nardai, Shmuelstadt, and in Shmuelstadt they followed the opinion of the Anshe Galil that says that unless you specifically state in the ksuba that the inheritors of the estate have the right to kick her out, since the default position is that they don't have the right to kick her out. She gets to live Meger al-Manusech in their house, assuming they have a house, as we learned previously, and she gets mizonos. So therefore, Amalu, so therefore Rav said to them, Ihachi, if that's the case, Nardai, v'chol parvadah, no kishmu. We follow the husband in this situation. The wife normally assumes all of the husband's status in terms of inhagim and in terms of dinim, and therefore we with this situation follow the halacha of the Anshe Galil, like Shmuel held, and they couldn't kick her out. Therefore, they have to let her stay in the house, and they have to give her the mizonos. Now, how do you define which was Rav's area and which was Shmuel's area? But Hechoner Doi, Shmuel's a smaller area, Mistama, and how do you define that area, the Nardai in the suburbs? So he says, wherever they use the weights and measures of Nardai is considered under the domain of Shmuel. Ad Hecho, the Sogi Kabo de Nardai, when they use the Kav that was used in that area, so therefore that's an area that would be under the domain. So it would be like, for example, of a Shmuel of Nardai. So it would be like in a place where they use the metric system, so that fell under Nardai. If they use the non-metric system, they use pounds and ounces. If they use the feet and miles, so then they would be under the domain of Bavel. Just give me that as an example. Obviously that wasn't the case, but that's just an illustration of what it means when they use the kavod in Nardai. If they use the measures that they were using in Nardai, or in the surrounding areas where they use those measures, so that was all under the domain of Shmuel. Gemara says, Itmar, we further learned in the Beis Medrash, and Almana, a woman, Nebuch, who lost a husband, Rav Amar Shamin Mashalel, when she is collecting a ksuba, so how do you evaluate the total amount of money that we're giving her? So Rav says you include the clothing that she's wearing, and also all the clothing that she has, not only the clothing that she's wearing, but clothing that she has in her possession, so you go and include that. The rationale behind that is because this clothing doesn't really belong to her. It really belonged to her husband and now belongs to the estate. And it was given to her as a gift, but that's only while she's Megar Amanusech, and certainly while she was alive. But once she says, I want to collect my kesubas, and then this goes back to the estate, so to say, and then we calculate how much kesubas she's entitled to. So if she wishes to keep those clothing, so you have to calculate that as part of the total alimony package that she's getting, the kesuba package that she's getting. So this is included in the amount. So if she wishes to keep that clothing, and it's worth $100, so you deduct from the kesuba $100. Fine. It is her choice, the post could bring down, as to whether she wishes to give back the clothing. She can say, listen, I'll get a new wardrobe, just give me the full kesuba. Or if she wishes to take the value of the clothing at the present time that they are, have them estimated and deduct that from the kesuba, it's her choice. Okay, that's Rav's opinion. Shomin Mashalel. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar ain't Shomin Mashalel. He says, no, the clothing that she's wearing is not considered in the kesuba calculation. And we don't take off, she's wearing a clothing that's worth $100, so we don't take that off in the kesuba. No, she's entitled to the full kesuba payment. And the Tosfos read at the bottom of here, three lines in the bottom, he says, Ein Shomin means, Pirish de Mishor, Shenises lo, Zochso b'matona, v'hein shalah. This is hers. This isn't something that was, you can use this while we're married or while you're a widow living in my house. No, this is a present. And we don't say that you have to give back this present. This is hers, separate from the entire kesuba. That's Shmuel's opinion. So this machlokus din Rav and Shmuel is in regards to an amana. The exact opposite, however, is in regards to a worker. Amar v'chiyah bar oven v'chilufa b'loket. The exact opposite applies in a person who's a worker for them who was given certain clothing. Rashi explains this worker, this lokit, is different than a regular person who you pay $10 an hour salary. You pay $1,000 a year total salary for his work. No, this is a sochir shagor bebeis bal habayis. This is a person who lives in the house of the bal habayis. The lokach lo bal habayis begodim, and the owner of the house gives him some clothing. Kishiyotzi mimenu shomosom begodim bischaro, and there's like a trade off over here. Okay, I'll let you live in my house and you'll do some work for me. And here's some clothing. The person obviously had very little. So this lokit is given clothing by the Baal HaBayis. So that's really his wages. So Shmuel says, if you're calculating the amount that the Baal HaBayis owes this lokit, so you definitely have to take into account the value of these clothing. Whereas Rashi says, Rav doesn't hold like that. Rav Amar Ein Shamim. So the exact opposite of the way Rav and Shmuel held by the Almana, whereas Rav said you do count the clothing in terms of the total kesuba package, and Shmuel said you don't, is the exact opposite by the case of the lokit, whereas Rav there said you don't take into account the clothing, that's a present, and that's not considered part of the package, where Shmuel said, no, that is considered part of the wages, and you do calculate how much the clothing are worth. That was the opinion of Chiyah bar Oven. Rav Kahana said the opposite. No, Rav Kahana said, Masne v'chein b'lokit. He had the girsa that the same way they had the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel by the Amana, the same exact machlokas exists by the lokit, that Rav would say that you count the clothing, and Shmuel says that you don't count the clothing. In both cases, no difference. And Rav Kahana said, I'll prove to you that I'm right, because umonach bo simona, Rav himself, that's the way Rashi understands this, Rav gave the simona b'mosa to remind yourself that this is the correct way that the machlokas applies both by the Amana and by the lokit. Umonach bo simona, Rav gave the following simon, yasma, yosom, that is the lokit, he's called the yosom, he's like an orphan in that he's very, very poor. And the Armalta and the widow, that's the case, the first case that we brought down the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about the Amana. Shalach upuk, as Rashi explains, they have to take off their clothing, havshet bigdeim vitzei. So to say, they leave without their clothing. Now, of course, they can wear the clothing, but it gets calculated into the ksuba, or gets calculated into the wages that this lokit has. So that's the simon that Rav Kahana said, that Rav held that a yosom, the orphan, meaning the poor lokit, and the amalta, and the poor widow, so these situations, they're clothing that they're wearing is calculated into either the wages for the lokit or into the ksuba for the almana. Furthermore, Amr of Nachman, even though we have a Mishnah that seems to support Shmuel's opinion that you do not count the clothing, nevertheless, the halacha is in accord with what Rav said. Now, that's strange. The Gemara will say, well, if you have a Mishnah like Shmuel, why are we passing like Rav? So we'll explain in a moment that the Mishnah isn't to be understood the simple way that it sounds like. Did not. We learned in the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Arochin, where it says, Echora makdish nechosav. If a person is makdish his property to the Beis HaMikdash, he gives it to the coffers of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'echor ha'marach es asmo. Or if somebody says, Erkiolai, the value that I am based upon my gender and my age, and they dedicate that to the Beis HaMikdash. So, ein lo b'chsus ishto, the one who says, I'm donating my nechosim, or I'm donating my value, so the Beis Din comes to go and collect this, the Beis HaMikdash, when they go to collect this, they don't have a right to go take. Ain lo b'chsus ishto. They can't go take the clothing off his wife's back. Lo b'chsus bano. They can't take the clothing off their children. Lo b'tzeva shetzav lishmon. Nor if they had some garments that were being dyed specifically for the wife or for the children, you're not allowed to take those as well. They're not his anymore. And he was makdish his nechasim, or he was marich himself, and then you can only take from his own property. You can't go take from somebody else's property to go and pay off his debt. And not for shoes that he purchased for either his wife or for his children, they don't belong to him anymore. So this Mishnah seems to certainly hold like Shmuel, that this was a present, and this is given over to the wife. The Almana has these things, and you don't calculate them in the amount of the Ksuba. So we have a Mishnah in Arachim that seems to support exactly what Shmuel said. Yet, we had brought down that we don't paskin like Shmuel, despite the fact that there's a Mishnah in support of him. So Gemara says, Amalei Rabba Rav Nachman. So Rabba, who heard this from Rav Nachman, said to him, how come? Since we have this mission in Arachim that is exactly like Shmuel, so why in the world are we possibly like Rav? Amalei. So Rav Nachman responds back to Rabba. L'cha'ora kishmuel rihita. Now, we'll read the word l'cha'ora here with an aleph. On first blush, at first look at this, it looks like this Mishnah is following Shmuel. However, ki ma'ainta ba, when you really go and look into this Mishnah, you see it actually isn't in accord with Shmuel, but actually is hilchasa kavase de Rav. It actually follows Rav's viewpoint. Now, why is that? How do you understand the Mishnah properly? Not the way that we did. My time up. Why is the Mishnah following Rav and not following Shmuel? Because ki akne lo, because in this Mishnah, when the husband gave his wife the clothing, adaita lemekam kamei. They were married at this point in time. And a husband gives his wife a present. He doesn't say, well, now your ksuba is deducted by the value of this present. That's not a very good way to conduct a marriage. So the husband gives his wife the present. It's an absolute full-fledged present. Adaita lemishkal umeivach. However, he certainly doesn't give it. He's not intending to go and say, here, you can use the clothing, but after an hour or after a day, you're going to give it back to me. It's my clothing. No, that's not the way it works. So when they're actually married, and that's what the Mishnah in Arachin is talking about, so of course, that's a present. But when you're calculating over here, the ksuba, so then at that point in time, the marriage is now 100% over. Obviously, it ended when the husband died, Nebuch. But when she's collecting her ksuba, she's basically saying, that's it. Our relationship, both from a financial point of view and from a concept point of view, is over. So therefore, everything goes back into their appropriate cubbies. And therefore, this clothing technically does belong to the husband. While she's alive, while she's living, Megal Menuseh, so of course he wants her to have it. But once the relationship is being severed from a financial point of view, so then you put everything back in their appropriate baskets, and therefore Rav holds in collecting the ksuba, you count the clothing. While she's alive, you count it as hers. And therefore the Beis Din, the Gizbar of Beis Din, wouldn't have the right to go, the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't have the right to go and take the clothing from his wife to pay up his debts. Okay. That's if you understood the word l'chora with an aleph. However, those who's read on the Omid Beis brings down that some have the word over here, l'chora, with an ayin. And that means an odom kiyar, a person who's not a nice person. So a person who's not a nice person, they would follow that opinion of Shmuel. But that's not the way we're supposed to act. And therefore, we follow the opinion of Rav. Very interesting alternative gears. Okay. Nadi Gemara says, the Maaseh Shoya, Kalasa, there was once a daughter-in-law, Devei Bar El Yashiv, who was the wife of someone who was from the house of Bar El Yashiv. So let's assume, for example, she was his daughter-in-law. So Hava Kotovik Subasa Miyasme. And Nebuch, her husband, passed away, and she went to the Yisomim to say, I want to go collect my Kesuba. So Hava Komante Lehu LeBeidina. So she took them to court to go and collect the ksuba. Amre, they said to her, it's pasnish for you to come dressed the way you're dressed to the Beis Din. You look like a schlump. Amre, they said to her, zilu la and milsa de tezli hachi. It's not nice for our status. We're a chosh of a people. And that you should come as a widow in our family, coming to collect your ksuba when you're dressed like a schlump. So she agreed. So Azla, she went, levishtinu, she put on the clothing, viskastinu, and she got fully dressed. She covered herself up, lekulei mana, she brought everything. She put everything on her. So they went, also coming to the Ravina, they went to Ravina to pass in this halacha, how much she's entitled to. And Amalahu, he said to them, hilchos kavasi the Rav, we pass it like Rav, who says, the Amar, amana shomin ma'ashola, you go and evaluate what she has, and therefore we now see what she has. Love that, because she has to be actually wearing it, as we pointed out beforehand, but now we see how much clothing she actually has, so we can say, oh, this is worth, you know, the 10% of the entire ksuba, so this wardrobe that she has is going to be deducted from the ksuba, because we're paskin like Rav, that in fact we are shaman, we do in fact evaluate what she has in clothing, and she has the right, as we pointed out before, you can take back the clothing, and you give me the full ksuba, or if I'm going to keep the clothing, you calculate its current value, not the purchase point, but its current value, what it's worth as worn clothing, as used clothing, and you deduct that from the ksuba. Why did the orphans, the inheritors of the estate, and the ones who were paying the ksuba from the estate, tell her this white lie that, oh, well, you can't come like a schlump, and you got to come to the Beis Din with your clothing? So they did this because they were concerned that she might hide her clothing. She would hide her fur coat. So they told her, oh, you can't come in a cloth coat. Come in your fur coat. So this way she would bring out her best clothing and they could get a better idea as to what she really had. Okay. The Gemara continues and says, another Maisa Shoya, how do you amaluhu? There was a certain man who was a Shchiv Meira. Rashi says, Savos Shchiv Meira. So this man on his deathbed, and the words of a Shchiv Meira, Kiksuvim Umesurim Domi, you don't have to write a shtar in them. The fact that he says it, we want to put him at peace. We want him not to be concerned. Hey, where's the scribe? Where's the Edom? So as long as he says something, it's considered Kiksuvim, it was written down, Umesurim, and handed over. So this Shchiv Meira said to his family, Nedunya Libras, I want my daughter to have an adunya from the estate, right? There were sons there, and the daughter would not inherit. And he tells everybody, I want my daughter to have a adunya from my estate. Nu, he passes away. Zal adunya. At the point that he was alive, he said, I want to have an adunya. So he said, I want you to buy a bed for her. I want you to buy linens for her. I want you to buy all the things that are considered part of the adunya. Nu, it would cost $10,000 for that adunya, that aspect of her dowry. Then he dies, but zal adunya. Instead of now having to pay $10,000 for that amount of bedding and household goods, etc., it now would only cost $5,000. The prices went down. So in this situation, Amar Rav Idi Bar Oven Purna Liyasmi. Rav Idi Bar Oven said that the increased benefit, the $5,000 that is no longer needed to go and be spent on this nedunya, she's getting exactly what her father, her dead father, had said. So the extra amount that is saved, that goes to the estate, that goes to the Yisomim, and doesn't go to her. She can't tie it. Well, listen, he said he's giving me $10,000 worth of goods, so I got the goods, but I want the remainder of the money. No, she doesn't have the right to say that. She has the right to get the nedunya that the father promised her. But if the prices go down, so then the benefit goes to the Yisomim. The Mefarshim point out that if the prices went up, so the benefit would go to her, and the Yisomim would lose out. If instead of, as most of the time, the prices don't go down, so if it was $10,000 at the time of his death, and they finally go and buy it 3 months later, and now it's $12,000, so then the estate would have to pay $12,000 because that's what the father wanted. Another Maisa Shoya, Ha'udu Amaluhu, another man who was a Shchiv Meira. So he said the following, he turned to Nundalad on the days, he told his family, Arba Meya Zuze Min Chamra Libras. I want to give my daughter a special nedunya. She should get 400 zuz worth of wine. Wine was a very precious commodity in those days. And he gave her 400 zuz worth of wine. That should be the nedunya for my daughter. And Yaker Chamra. The wine went up in value. So the amount of money that 400 zuz would buy, before it would buy 10 bottles of wine, now it only buys 9 bottles of wine, just to give an example. So does she get 10 bottles of wine, or does she only get 9 bottles of wine? So Amar of Yosef, similarly as to what we just had, Rav Choli Yasmei. No, the father said give her 400 zuz of wine. He didn't say give her 10 bottles of wine. if he said give her 10 bottles of wine, if the wine goes up, you have to give her the 10 bottles of wine. If the wine goes down, you still give her the 10 bottles of wine, but you'll pay less for it. So here, he said, I want her to get 400 zuz of wine. So when they purchase the wine, they have to give her 400 zuz of wine. If it would cost now $500 to give her the same amount of wine that $400 would have purchased at the time of his death, no, that extra benefit, Rav Chuli asked me, the Yisomim get that extra benefit as well. Finally, one more. Maisa Shaya, Kerevei de Rav Yochanan, the relatives of Rav Yochanan. We had yesterday, Rav Yochanan would be asked questions sometimes by his relatives and he would help them out. So the relatives of Rav Yochanan came to him and said, Havalu itas abba, there is a wife of someone in our family, our father, the Hava, komisida mizoni. She's a woman who's not interested in saving money. She spends a lot of money. So Rashi says, Mar belecho, she eats a lot. She buys the fanciest foods and she doesn't worry about the cost. And we're going to have to go and pay for this when our father passes away. The case was that the father was quite sick and therefore they were worried that they would have to go and pay for this. And they wanted to set up a better system where they could control the cost. So also coming to Rabbi Yochanan, they went to Rabbi Yochanan to ask him what we should do. Some of those, he told his relatives, Ezlu, go, the Imru le Leavuchan, and tell your father while he's still alive, the Niyachid lo Aro lemezona, that he should designate that your mezonos come from this property. And this way, whatever that property can support her from mezonos, that's all she'll get. And she won't be able to go and be mar belechol and eat so much because she's limited to this field. No, they did exactly what Rav Yochanan suggested them. But then they went to the Beis Medrash of Reish Lakish when there was a dispute after the husband had died, their father had died. So they were now in a litigation with the wife. She said, I need more mezonos. And they said, no, Dad said that you only get the mezonos from this field. So they went to the Beis Medrash of Reish Lakish to pass in the din. So also the Kamei de Reish Lakish, they went to Reish Lakish and they said, what do we do? So he told them, Amalahu, Kol Shekein Sheribal Amazonas. What your father did was actually entitled to more Mazonas, because what he basically did was say, if we don't have enough Mazonas from the estate, then this field will also be used to give you Mazonos. So it actually made things worse, not better. They told Reish Lakish, Amalei, they said, that's not what our father said. But Rav Yochanan, lo amar hachi, Rav Yochanan didn't hold like you. So Reish Lakish tells him, Amalei, zilu hovula, you came to me for p'sak din, this is how I paskin, go and give her the mezonos that she is entitled to. Zilu, and if you don't do that, mifkina luchu Rav Yochanan miunaychu, I'm going to go and remove Rav Yochanan from your ears. In other words, I'm going to force you to go and do this. You can't tell me what Rav Yochanan said. That's not the way I paskin. And therefore, I'm telling you, go and pay this and leave Rav Yochanan out of this. Nope, they were not happy with this. So the relatives of Rav Yochanan went to Rav Yochanan and they told him, listen, you hear what Reish Lakish said? Also coming to Rav Yochanan and they told him what Reish Lakish had said. So Amalahu, so Rav Yochanan said to them, what can I do? Mo'aseh, I'm stuck over here. Shekinegdi cholokolai. Reish Lakish is my equal. Reish Lakish is the one that you went to pass in the Shaila. I obviously couldn't pass in the Shaila. I'm no Gabadov, I'm your relative. No, that's how I paskin. But if Reish Lakish passes otherwise, you have no choice. Amar Rav Yavo says, Lididi meforshli minei de Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yavo said, I can explain to you what Rav Yochanan's thinking was. Omar, he said, limizonos. Rav Yochanan said, go and designate this field. He told the relatives, tell your father to go designate the field, limizonos. And therefore, ribolomizonos. And therefore, Reish Lakish said, when it means limizonos, it means for extra mizonos. If she doesn't have enough mazonos in regular, so this field will then give her additional mazonos. Omar, but if he had said bimazonos, meaning, as Rashi points out, bechov mazonos, this is the obligation that I have, and I'm fulfilling that obligation, bimazonos, from this field, sheyesh lechalai, that obligation that you have to be supported by me is from here, only from here, then kotzas lomazonos. Then he's fixing the amount that she can have. Whatever this field can support, that's what she gets, but nothing else. So therefore, the way that Rav Yochanan had said it, whether limazonos or bimazonos, would be the point over here that was critical. With this, we conclude the beautiful fourth perek, Hadron lecha narish nispatsa, and we will go and start the fifth perek. So the mission begins. Afa pish amr besula gova masayim v'amon amona. Even though the normal rule is that a besula is entitled to the base ksuba of 200 zuz, the amona amona, and the amona gets 100 zuz, which is amona. Nevertheless, imrotz lahosif, if you wish to add more, if the chassan wishes to go and add more, Afilu mea mana, even a huge amount more, even 100 mana more, the basic super for a basula is 2 mana, and he wants to give an additional 100 mana, Yosef absolutely had to go. More will explain what would be the habamina to think that it's not allowed. Now, this armelo and this garsha, if the woman is nebuch, widowed, or she is divorced, so beimin or erisin, beimin isuin. Whether it was from only the first stage of marriage, the erisin, or was from a full-fledged marriage, the isuin, so govis akol. The Tanakhama says that she's entitled to the entire ksuba, the base ksuba, as well as any tosefes ksuba that was put in. However, Reuza Nazari disagrees. Reuza Nazari omer, if it was minan isuin, if they were married, the full-fledged marriage, so then govis akol, then she's entitled to everything, the base ksuba plus the tosefes ksuba. However, minan erisin, if the only the first stage of marriage had occurred, so then besula govim masayim amon amana, then she's entitled to the base ksuba. If she was a besula, she gets 200. If she was an amana, she gets 100. But not the Tosefes Kesuba, because Shalom Kosov law, that Tosefes Kesuba was only written El Amanas Lekonsa, with the understanding that she would get it when they were fully married. And that full marriage, unfortunately, never occurred because he died or he divorced her, so then she's not entitled to that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda tells us, Imratza, if the husband wishes to, now we had this previously, we had a machlos with Meir Yehuda as to whether you can live without having a ksuba, and we'll get to this in the end of the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Imratza, if the husband wishes to do so, Kosev lebesula shtar shomasayim, he can write her the ksuba for 200, but she writes him a false receipt, so to say, because even though she didn't get it. She writes that, yes, I received 100 of already, even though she didn't get that 100. You're allowed to write a document saying that somebody paid you back, even though they didn't. That's your right to do so, to be mavatir, to give up the money that you're entitled to. So here, review this says, the guy says, listen, I'm not marrying you unless I only give you 100 zuz, not a full 200 zuz that you're entitled to. And she's willing to accept that. But how do you do that? You have to have the ksuba written for 200. So he writes the ksuba for 200, but she writes, I already got 100 back. I got already a mana back. Or if she's an almana, well, the almana who's only entitled to a mana, and he says, I'm only giving you 50, so he gives her the shtar ksuba of 100, the mana, the hikosavis, and then she writes, I already got 50 zuz, so you really only owe me 50 for the ksuba. That's what Yehuda says, perfectly acceptable. Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir Omer, anybody that knocks down the ksuba from the base 200 for a besula or 100 for an amana is called harezu beilas nus. You're not allowed to do this. You have to have the full ksuba. If you were less than the full ksuba, so then it's considered a very base thing to do. This is considered znus. This is considered inappropriate. Okay. Gemara starts off and says, pshita, the first part of the Mishnah, where we said that if you wish to, in Mosif, if you want to go and add on, even mea mana, Yosef, absolutely, perfectly permissible to do so. So why would you think not? It's pshita, it's obvious. Where does it say that you can't give somebody else money as a present? So Gemara says, no. Mal detema, I might have said, kitsusa of the rabbanon. I might have said that the chazal set up, no, this is the set amount for ksuba. Similar to, this is what you pay for a funeral. Shalolo vayish es misha enlo, because we don't want to embarrass people that don't have. So we had takonos from the great Tanoim that said that we don't go and allow very, very extravagant and expensive funerals because it's going to embarrass the people that can't afford it. So everybody has to have the same base funeral. So therefore, one might have thought that everybody has to have the same ksuba, and therefore we aren't allowed to go and add on to it. So therefore, in order not to embarrass anybody else, everybody has the same ksuba. So kamash one, that's not true. The Tanna is telling us you can add on as much as you want, and for somebody that Baruch Hashem has the means and capabilities to add on, gesundheit, we don't worry in this situation that somebody else will be embarrassed. Then the Mishnah said, imratzalosi v'chule, he can even add up to 100 money. Now it used the lashon over here, Yosef. So the Gemara says, Rotzo lichtov lo loktani. But the Mishnah didn't state that if he wishes to write it down, he should write it down. It just says, if he wishes to add to it, Rotzo lahosif, then you can add to it. Why didn't it say, if you want to write it down? Why did it say, if you just want to add to it? Why is this Loshon not, if you wanted to write it down? So Gemara says, this is in accord, Messiah, this supports Le Rabbi Aivu Amar Rabbi Yane, that what Rabbi Aivu said in the name of Rabbi Yane. What did he say? Dama Rabbi Aivu Amar Rabbi Yane. Tenai ksuba, ki ksuba domi. That anything that you put into the ksuba has the same status as the ksuba. In other words, what he's saying is, and you can see this in Dibra Maschil, in Rashi, Rotzo lichtov loktani, because e tono lichtov, if he said you write it down, I wouldn't have known this, that it's like the ksuba. Lo have shamina mina shiye ha tosefes kari ksuba. I wouldn't have called the tosefes ksuba and have all the dinam of the ksuba. Elo, I would have said, Kimatana midaito. It's just a regular present that he's giving out of his own free will. Be'ein shen ksuva lab, and it wouldn't have the status of the ksuba. Now that we use the lashon that you can add on to the ksuba as opposed to just write her the extra 100, mashma nosaf ala ksuba, that this is a tosefes ksuba, shetitnu chachamim, v'shem ksuva lov gam hu messiah levechule. And this is what supports what Rav Aivu said in the name of Yane, that it has all the dinim of the ksuba itself in the tosefes ksuba, as opposed to it's a separate document, so to say that he says he owes her 100 money. What's the nafkamina? So the Gemara says the nafkamina would be in the following 14 different things. Limocheres, for example, if she were to go and sell it, as Rashi tells us, in Dibra Masra, Limocheres ulimocheles, which is the next one of the 14, and Rashi says, Mocheres ksubasa, or mocheles ksubasa, if she sells her ksuba, or she's moichel on the ksuba, mochla umochra es hakol, she sells or is moichel on everything, because it's all one document. If she's selling the ksuba, it includes the tosefes ksuba. If she's moichel the ksuba, it includes being moichel on the tosefes ksuba, unless she specifically writes or states otherwise. Below Amrina, we don't say lo mikri ksuva elamon masayim, and we don't say over here that this counts as a ksuba, only the base 100 or 200, and the rest is not considered ksuba. So nafkamina number 1 and 2 is that if she sells it or she's moichel it, it is included. The tosefes ksuba is included in the ksuba. Nafkamina number 3 is lemoredes rechmona l'san. If a woman is moredes, as Rashi says, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, the Tam Bepirkin on Daf Samach Gimel, Hamoredes Abala. If a woman is unfortunately rebelling against her husband, she won't have relations with him, she doesn't act in the normal way that a wife acts, Pochasin law miksubas of Hule, that we deduct a certain amount each week from the ksuba in order to hopefully get her to change her mind and act properly. So how much do you deduct till? At my side, hu poches, ad kinek subasa. So we go and make her lose the entire ksuba, and then he's allowed to divorce her. Lo tema, so don't say over here, kineged monim masayim only, luchudayu, that this only goes into the monim masayim, but doesn't include the tosefes ksuba. No, ela afa tosefes pochasin lohochin. So if she remains in a rebellious state, so even the tosefes ksuba will be deducted and deducted and deducted, until even the tosefes ksuba is all used up. That's nafkamina number 3. Nafkamina number 4, uz lepogemes. What is this? So Rashi also tells us, divamas lepogemes, in Perek HaKosev, which is in Daf Pei Zayin, he says, Tanan, hapogemes ksubasa. If a woman impugns her ksuba, in what way? That she says part of it's been paid. So then lo tifara el b'shua. Then the rest of it, she's only allowed to go collect with the shua. In pogma tosefes, so he's telling us here, the nafkamina is, if she's pogim on the tosefes, yeah, I took part of the tosefes, I got part of the tosefes, so then in that situation, namishar molashem piro, not tosefes, that she got part of the tosefes, hiskabalti dino. If she says, even I got one dino of it, avzu pogemes ksubasi, this is also called impugning the ksuba, and she can't go and collect it without making a shua. Then Tony and Balo his kabat call ksuba sech lo tipor el b'shua. And if her husband disagrees and says, no, I paid you the whole thing, not just part of it like you're saying, then she has to make a shua. So that's nafkamina number 4. Nafkamina number 5 is l'tovas. If a woman says, I want to collect my ksuba, Rashi says, diba mas l'tovas, shamu chachomim hatovas ksubasa the basin. If a woman goes and asks for a ksuba in basin, we just learned this earlier, ain lo mizonos, so she's not entitled to mizonos anymore. So this tovas that she's asking for suba includes, even if she asks for the tosefes suba, that's considered that she's tovas. She says, well, I didn't ask for the base 100 or 200, just asking for tosefes, that's called tovas ksubasa, and she loses the mizonos. That's nafkamina number 5. Nafkamina number 6 is rechmona l'tzlan uloveris al das. If a woman goes against what is considered the normal way that a Jewish woman should act. And we have the Ramatzku Rashi Overes Haldas. We'll learn this also later in the Masechta and Perek HaMadir on Daf Ayin Beis. She'amru Alel, Teitzi Shel B'Ksuba. If a woman is Moredes Aldas, we'll see that, for example, she doesn't cover her hair or she doesn't do certain things that is normal, accepted by a married woman, a Jewish woman, to go and do, so then she loses her Ksuba. She doesn't get a ksuba. So don't say, lo temo ksubas mono masayim, she loses. Avo tosefes matona bi'amuhu, and lo evsida. And the third tosefes was a present, then she doesn't lose that. So no, he's telling us over here, nafkamina number 6, that she would even lose the tosefes ksuba. If Rechman al-San, she was overes al-das, if she didn't follow what a nice Jewish maidel should be doing. We turn to Nunhei Omen Aleph with nafkamina number 7, and that is l'shevach. What is this? Rashi explains l'shevach. Shamu b'chorus, we learn in Masechta b'chorus, That the Bechor is entitled to the double portion, but that's only things that are extant at the time of the death of the father. If something was Mishabeach afterwards, something, an investment, went up in price, so it was evaluated at $1,000 at the time of the death, so he's entitled to a double portion of that $1,000. But then if it went up to $2,000, he only gets a straight portion of the extra $1,000. So that's called Shevach. So, V'lo ha'isha b'ksuvasa. Likewise, the woman is entitled to Shevach from the ksuba, meaning that you evaluate what the man had, or husband had, at the time of his death, and that's how you pay off the ksuba. If there were gains after his death, and only in that way we should be entitled to get the full value of a ksuba, because he didn't have enough property otherwise, so then you don't collect the ksuba from the somim, from the shevach that occurred afterwards. So you might have thought that the Tosefes ksuba is not included in this din, because it's not part of the ksuba, and only the ksuba is not included in shevach, so therefore this teaches us that nafkamina number 7 is for the shevach as well. It's only from it's the entire ksuba and not only the mona masai. Number 8 is lishvua. The nafkamina number 8 actually says lishvua means l'chol mili d'shaicha lishov al ksuba. Anytime that she has to swear on the ksuba. For example, part of it was paid back, part of it was not paid back. Kigon hanifro shelo b'fanav, if she's collecting it not in front of him, well, the Eidelchot Meidor Shiprua, or there's a single witness that it was paid back and she swears otherwise. So this is also going to require a shvua on the Tosefes ksuba, not only on the base ksuba. That's nafkamina number 8. Nafkamina number 9, the lishvias, in regards to shmita. Now, Rashi explains the Dibur Maaseh lishvias, shein shvias mishametes ksuba. Normally, there's a rule, which will mean to Hashem, we're going to have to go write a principle for those that are interested at the end of this year, coming up, because this is the end of the Shemitah year, and that's the way we paskin. There were those who write the principle before the Shemitah year starts, but our minog is definitely to write the principle at least at the end of the Shemitah year, before the Shemitah year is over, that you can collect debts. So, when you're writing the Prusbul, it will go and prevent any debt from being canceled by Shemitah. So as Rashi says over here, the Tosefes Kesuba is also going to not be canceled by the Shemitah. Tosefes Nami Lo Mishamit. The next one, number 10, is V'lakosev called Nechosev Lebonav. If somebody writes over all of his Nechosim to his children, as Rashi says, Diva Maskel Kosev Nechosev Lebonav, V'kosev Leishto Karka Kolshu, and he wrote to his wife just a certain amount of Karka. So when this din is allowed, we're not going to go to when this din does and doesn't apply. So in this situation, so the Tosefes Kesuba is also included in just being able to be collected from this karka that he designated for the ksuba, and the not just the primary ksuba, the base ksuba of mono masayim, but even the Tosefes Kesuba is included in this din as well. Now coming to number 11, ligbos mina karka. She's normally only allowed to collect the ksuba from karka. However, nowadays, we've worked down already from the Gaonim period of time. We had in Tosus the other day that you can collect from a tavli, but in the Gemara's time, when you can only collect from karka, so this included the Tosefes ksuba as well. Nafkamina number 12 is min haziburis, that the ksuba is collected normally from the lowest quality land, the karka that the person has. There's three levels. You have the best, the idiest, you have the beninis, and then you have the ziburis. So the ksuba is normally collected only from the least quality, the lowest quality land that he has. Again, if he only has high quality land, then you collect it from that. But if he has choices, so he can give her the least quality, the lowest quality land that he has. So this includes the Tosefes ksuba as well. Finally, number 13, the 13th nafkamina, the kozman shivayis aviya. This is a reference to a din that we'll learn later on in the Masechta as well, how long a woman can collect a ksuba. If she's living comfortably in the estate of her dead husband, and everything is going fine and well, so we assume that there is no end to when she can collect a ksuba, because there's such an amicable relationship over there, so she's not being marchal on her ksuba, she doesn't have to say anything. But if she goes back to live bevei savia, she doesn't go live in the estate, but she knows, let's say they're having hard times, so she says, I'll collect my ksuba at some later point in time. So it's not considered a mechila on her ksuba until 25 years have gone past. If she's living bevei savia and 25 years have gone past and she hasn't asked for ksuba, in that case we consider the ksuba to be batel. She's essentially said, I'm marchal on it after 25 years in that situation, when she's bevei savia. And the last 14 the nafkamina between whether we consider the Tosefes ksuba to be part of the ksuba, which we do, so the nafkamina is l'ksubas benin dichwin, as we pointed out, for the enhanced rights that her children have over the other children from a different wife that the husband has, so when he dies, so her children will collect 100% of that aspect of the ksuba that comes from her, the ksuba's benin dichrin, as we've already learned. So this would include the tosefet's ksuba as well as the base ksuba that her children would inherit over the other children that he had from other wives. Those are the 14 nafkaminas, and with this we conclude today's shir.